What's going on, guys? Tucker Bierman here, one of the owners and operator of Refined Tile and Design, coming to you on the Refining Exchange podcast. We're starting a new series called Under the Surface, where we talk to local business owners, operators, entrepreneurs in Wilmington, North Carolina, specifically in the residential trades. So we're excited to bring to you a couple of these stories, a couple of these business owners that service the area and that we love to get to work with. What's going on, guys? We're here with Jordan from Coastal Building Supply. Appreciate you taking the time to come out and chat with us a little bit about your business. Justin Sellers actually teed us up. He was kind of talking about you. You just recently had acquired Fitzgerald Wood Products, and he was like, cool guy, new to the industry, doing a lot of innovative things. So we got to meet a couple months ago or a month ago thereabouts, and just learning about your business, I was excited to kind of share the story with our, you know, clients, our listeners, stuff like that. So take me back pre-purchasing of Fitzgerald. What were you doing at that time?
Yeah, well, definitely appreciate you having me on, and looking forward to it. So I bought Fitzgerald Wood Products in January of 2022. Prior to that, I had no direct construction knowledge or building material experience. Yeah. I was a director of sales for an emergency medical supplier. So wow. The natural progression there is to buy a lumber company, right?
Yeah.
So I was there for 4, 5, 6 years helping build a company as a director of sales, touching on every aspect of business, you know, customer service, sales, purchasing, warehouse management, operations, and a couple other companies prior to that where I was also involved in multiple different aspects of business, and realized, man, I'm touching all these different business operation functions and, you know, really want to go out and do it for myself. So made the leap.
Yeah. What was that like? Tell me, like, that 6 months leading up to, like, had you quit your job?
No, I didn't. I was, might as well consider it as working two jobs. I was working my normal day job and in the evenings building a business plan. And I bought an existing company, being Fitzgerald Wood Products, started in 94. Mm-hmm. So actually 30-year mark this year. But since I was buying an existing company that was already operational, I wrote a business plan around what they were doing and what I thought I could improve upon. Mm-hmm. The prior owner, Patrick Fitzgerald, who started the company, 72 years old at that time, and was ready to retire and spend more time with his kids and grandkids, and kind of had the company on cruise control. But I saw, you know, there was a lot of opportunity for growth. So he had made it an excellent foundation for us to come in and really build off of. So, you know, the 6 months leading up to my first day of work at my own company was, you know, going to work, still doing trade shows, traveling for work, going on customer site visits, all that kind of stuff, and really doing that job well, and coming home and at night spending a few hours each night on the computer, you know, putting together pro formas or strategy, you know, the whole business plan. So
you were fired up at this point.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I at that point I knew it was going to happen, and I was finally going to, you know, exercise my degree in entrepreneurship from UNCW and actually get out and do my own thing. I'd been more on the entrepreneurship side, you know, doing the entrepreneurial thing within other organizations, and finally was going to make the leap to go out on my own. So yeah, it was exciting. That was some of the fun, you know, fun parts of planning, and then reality hits when you walk in on your first day and you're like, well, the plan sure looked good, but now they're this forklift's out of gas, this truck's got a flat tire, my delivery driver's calling. It's like, okay, this has just gotten real.
Yeah, then you realize you're a firefighter.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
That's cool, man. And I'm sure that was good on your marriage, healthy for your marriage and your kids too, as you're building all this building plans and working two jobs too. That's a challenge, I'm sure.
It was an interesting challenge because we had just finished building a house, just moved in. We were about to give birth to our first son, and I told my wife I'm quitting my job and buying a company.
Yeah.
She was, you know, a little shocked, but as always, completely supportive.
That's awesome.
And it wasn't a totally unfamiliar industry to me. I've always been a hobbyist woodworker. My father-in-law and brother-in-law are both custom home builders. Mm-hmm. My brother, the past 6 years, has been working with Monteith, large commercial contractor. So I've been surrounded by the building industry and had a passion for woodwork. And so those, you know, that combined with my business experience all kind of collided into this opportunity, and knew it was the right one.
Yeah, that's cool, man. So is Patrick still, does he still come around the business at all?
He doesn't. You know, we keep in touch from time to time, and he likes to hear about the updates and see what we're doing. He was excited to see the business go into the hands of somebody passionate about growing the business. And so we were still in touch. Part of the acquisition of the company. I did keep them on for 6 months as a contract position to help transition. So, you know, that'd be one thing that when people ask, yeah, if you were to do it again or if you would recommend something to somebody, that's one of the things that component of the purchase agreement, having an independent contractor agreement with the previous owner and having that transition period where customers got familiar with you, suppliers got familiar with you, and then you announce that you actually have been owning the company the past 6 months.
Yeah.
So I came in as the general manager to make a smooth transition. And then, you know, we made the announcement. And of course, last year in August, we rebranded to Coastal Building Supply. Mm.
Yeah. So tell that story, and maybe it's not much of a story, but I thought that was really awesome. Purchased the business. I didn't know that piece about Patrick, which I think is awesome. But then you actually didn't even rebrand it for a full year, right?
Yeah, it was close to a year and a half. We started the rebranding process at the end of the first year.
Yeah,
I felt comfortable that we had, you know, a really good relationship with our customer base, that we were growing customer base. We had a good relationship with all of our supply chain. I let, you know, them know that it was coming. Yeah. But it was about a 6 or 8 month planning process to rebrand, you know, creating the logo, making a totally new website, all new shirts and apparels, all new truck wraps, all new business cards, new Google listing. And the list goes on from there. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of stuff. So, I had a good, you know, good marketing team that I was working with to help me make that, transition. But we wanted to go from Fitzgerald Wood Products to Coastal Building Supply because we were positioned as a premium building material supply house, not specifically wood. So as we've grown our product offering, we've grown into a lot of synthetics, PVC composite decking, fiber cement, and PVC, pre-finished PVC siding. And so we wanted to have a brand that encompassed building materials versus strictly wood products. So that's the building material component of the rebrand, Coastal Building Supply. And then the first part, Coastal, our thoughts were, you know, if a material can stand up to our harsh coastal environment, that positions it as a premium building material. So Coastal Building Supply, really, you know, the coast is here in our backyard, so it brings some local feel into it as well. And that's how we came up with the Coastal Building Supply name. And, you know, two reasons: broaden our product offering, and also gave us a nice line in the sand where people really, if they didn't know it was under new ownership, they certainly knew at that point.
Yeah. Was that scary, or you felt confident in that?
I felt confident in it. I talked about it with a lot of friends, family, and close customers, and got a lot of positive feedback on it. And since the rebrand, you know, it's the company has continued for a pretty vertical growth trend. So it was a little bit nerve-wracking. You know, you just bought this business that's been around for
30 years
this year, and you're coming in and after a year and a half, you know, shaking it up and totally rebranding it. But there was a lot of things that we did. Like, we still have the FitzgeraldWood.com website up and redirect. We still have all of our old Fitzgerald Wood emails that redirect and forward on. So still the same business phone number and address. So I was nervous about some things falling through the holes, you know, missing a lead or missing a call or missing this or that. But I think we had a little safety net there that did well for us.
I mean, it seems like you were very strategic and patient with it. That's cool, man. What was one of the scariest things about, like, or the hardest things for you stepping into an entrepreneurship role in the first 12 months?
Slowing down. Like, I'm always looking at how do we get to 10 million to 20 million to 50 million? How do we, you know, grow so aggressively that it's hard to, like, live in the moment and pace yourself to, okay, let's start with the first step, and that's learning the current business. And there were some challenges there because we sell so many different products. It was like drinking out of a water hose of, you know, different decking materials and different species from all over the world, and learning that, creating the structure, getting the processes in place that would allow us to scale when you're such a visionary and you're like, I want to get here today, but you're like, all right, write it back in. So that's been a challenge of, you know, strategic, scalable growth that's controlled versus just opening the floodgates. Cause, you know, you go out there and get a ton of sales, but if you don't have the warehouse space or the inventory or the delivery trucks or the delivery drivers, or the customer service people to facilitate that growth, then you're growing uncontrolled. So, and I know you have a lot of the same, big picture ideas, it's kind of sometimes hard to rein it back and just focus on, look, let's get this thing perfect before we get it to this thing.
So. Well, you speak about visionary. I use that word a lot. It's like, you can see it. Like,
oh yeah,
you can see the $50 million and then you can kind of see the stages or the path to get there. But to your point, you can't miss steps and that's where you get burned. So yeah, no, I get that, man. And a business mentor of mine, he challenged me. I was like, we're trying to scale, And he was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, or I said, we're trying to scale, we're trying to grow revenue. And he was like, scaling is actually building out the infrastructure of your business. It takes a lot of time. It's not actually like you're building for scale, which is then the revenue. But I was like, dang, okay. So I got to actually work on the business.
I agree completely with that. Yeah. That's why I say, before that huge revenue spike, you have to have the infrastructure in place. We just got a second warehouse. We just purchased the 3 acres that we operate out of. So, we bought that property so that we had unlimited scalability with more acreage. We can put up outdoor lumber yard. We can put up more buildings. Having additional space, ramping up the inventory, ramping up the sales team, ramping up the delivery trucks. We know we had one small delivery truck that our guys had to hand unload. Now we've got a, full size flatbed with a forklift piggyback on the back Moffitt truck and three delivery trucks. So that infrastructure to support the scale and revenue is extremely important to be able to deliver on our mission of the customer service aspect of things. If you call me and you want to order 3,000 feet of e-pay today, we can get it to you tomorrow. But had we not, put all these other things in place, I might have lost that opportunity because, we didn't have the infrastructure in place to support it. So I would totally agree with that guy.
Yeah. He's smart. But how many employees do you guys have?
We have 8 now. So when I bought the company, we had 2. And so it's almost 2.5 years. We've jumped that up to 8 employees, and we're about to be interviewing for another CDL truck driver and another account manager. So we'll probably have 10 to 12 before the end of the year.
How's that make you feel?
Excited. Yeah. Giving people the opportunity to have a job that they enjoy and can support their family. To me, it's awesome.
I love it, man. Yeah. This is about you, but not me, but I so align with that. Like, seeing the people on our team grow and be successful has been the most enjoyable thing for me. And I see them as assets.
Oh yeah.
It seems like you do too, where it's like you need the truck and you need the space, but like you need the people that help because they end up wearing your shirt, representing your company on deliveries. And I always tell we got a couple delivery guys too, and I'm always like, look, you're the last person they see.
Yeah.
I want to make sure they're happy when you leave.
Yep,
and,
exactly.
And you play a big part in that, in the company. So that's cool, man. I love that. What, so kind of getting back on track for what we were going to ask you, is there anything else from a strategy standpoint that you guys are trying to focus on in this year or kind of moving forward?
Yeah. So 2 big strategies that, I think are going to be significant to our company. One being we just bought a molder, within the past couple of months, we just got dust collection set up. Our new knives, which are the molder knives, are due in today. So by next week we should be set up and running. And for you or those that don't know what a molder is, it's a piece of machine that's got 5 different cutter heads that are going to hit each side of a board. So you can take a 1x6 and turn it into a piece of shiplap or turn it into a V groove. So, that's real exciting. We've been having to send that out. It's a lead time. It's an additional cost. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit of a logistics challenge to send an order out every time we had an order for shiplap or groove deck boards. Because for us, we want to stock a square edge board. Then we can put any kind of profile on it. So it helps us to reduce our inventory SKUs because we can keep the one board that maybe they want it shiplap, V-groove, whatever 1-inch square channel, whatever profile they want. So bringing that in-house is gonna be exciting and awesome. It's going to really condense our turnaround times from when somebody places an order, reduce our cost, and then we will pass that on to the customer. So that's a big one that we're literally this week going to be turning on the machine for the first time. So you'll have to come and check that out.
Yeah.
And then another big strategic growth objective for us was we're by no means saturated in our local market, but we knew there was a ton of additional potential outside of our geographic 50-mile radius from our business that we support on a day-to-day basis. And so we were trying to decide, do we want to grow through more locations and open a coastal building supply in Myrtle, Raleigh, Charlotte, and Charleston and grow that way? Or do we grow through distribution or a rep network? I've decided to go through a rep network. So we just recently signed on with 25 manufacturer rep group, where they have a list of five other manufacturers they represent. They go and call on different lumber yards, and they're now selling our exotic hardwoods into those lumber yards, where we can just do job lot order fulfillment. Since we're buying in larger quantities, we're getting full container loads of multiple different species. Now they don't have to tie up money in that inventory. We already have the inventory on the ground, and we can fill their job lot, pull it to their lengths, and get the order turned around in a couple of days. So that's really going to expand our geographic footprint, mm-hmm. and I think is going to be a really exciting growth opportunity this year for us.
How far is it? About 50 miles to these 25 other?
No, they cover the entire East Coast. Oh, so wow. Yesterday we shipped out an order to Edisto Island, South Carolina. This morning we shipped out an order to Charlotte. We've got two orders that are going to be going up past Atlantic Beach. So that rep group covers the entire East Coast around Florida over to Texas and then straight up to Ohio. So like the eastern third of the United States where they're physically going into these stores. So it's really expanding our reach.
That's a big
reach.
Deal.
It is. That's a pretty exciting opportunity for us to, and again, now the challenge is going to be, again, putting in the amount of inventory in the warehouse space and the scale now with their added sales efforts, which, you know, to me, it alleviated multiple locations, the capital requirements to staff those and more trucks for those. We do third-party shipping, so what we consider a hot shot, basically a guy in a truck in a trailer, mm-hmm. he picks up from us, delivers straight to the lumberyard then delivers it to the customer's job site. So it's going to be interesting. We just signed this deal 2 months ago, and we're
so they sell for you then, this group?
Yeah, they are our sales reps.
They got the, and then I got you. So they make a cut of everything. Well, probably helps your buying power too. I imagine if wood's anything like tile or flooring, it's like the more you can buy, the better price you get, right?
Exactly.
So
yeah.
If you can have a yard, you can buy in massive, you know, buy a truckload of something that mm-hmm. you know you're going to be able to use. And then you have that tool that can kind of dice it up into different sizes. I mean, you've already said this, but you're going to be a distribution plant. So
yeah. Yeah. So it's instead of more retail and contractor focus, it's more distributor focus. Yeah. So we'll have two different areas where we're in two different price tiers that these distributors can sell at the same market pricing. So based on our, you know, economies of scale with buying power.
That's crazy. That's awesome, man. I love that. What, where do you guys buy ePay from? Yellow Bilal?
ePay comes from Brazil. Okay. Yellow Bilal, Red Bilal, Torum, those come from Indonesia and the South Pacific region. So their different species come from different places around the world. And, you know, of course, the past couple of years, going into the company during COVID, container shortage, that was a little bit of a challenge. And we try to keep 4 months of supply on hand so that when we have these shipping delays and container shortages and ports clogged up and everything,
tariffs.
It comes from all over the world. That's has been what the company's always been known for. The tropical hardwoods were the leader for sure in the area, and now expanding outside of this direct area. But the other product categories are where the real growth has come, because they've gone from zero to, you know, whatever they are with siding, different siding packages and different mm-hmm. porch ceilings. So our goal is to be able to pretty much provide all the components for the exterior envelope of the house, porch ceiling, siding, trim, mm-hmm. and decking, and then move into the interior and do some custom. We do milling and kiln drying here locally, where we can make a, you know, kitchen island table or floating shelves and carry some of those high end accents into the interior.
Shiplap, tongue and groove, stuff
exactly
like that.
Exactly. That again is where that molder is going to come in handy. If you want a white oak shiplap wall, you know, we're milling and kiln drying white oak here locally. And then we can take that, run it through the molder and produce, you know, finished 1x6 V groove or, you know, whatever profile. So
that's sweet, man.
It's opened a lot of opportunities, but there again, when you think about like challenges, it's opening so many opportunities. Yeah. Like, you know, you again, rein it in and how to, you know, focus on a core set of species and a core set of profiles to where you're not, you know, setting up the machine to run one piece for this or that. You know, we are going to be willing to do that for our customers, but yeah. our focus is on trying to identify the species that people are routinely buying and yeah. that we, you know, can provide for them.
Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah, it's hard. You want to spread yourself out in the sense that you can service a lot of different people in a lot of different ways, but then you don't want to spread yourself out so you saturate yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that we've caused challenges for ourselves as we've gone from tile to surfaces, you know, flooring, hardscapes and stuff like that. Luckily, minimal challenges so far, but just, you know, in knowledge of the products and sourcing the products and, you know, making sure that we're standing for the products that we deliver to the job site kind of thing. So I imagine you are going through some of the similar stuff.
Yeah.
But you roll with it.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Take the punches, figure out what works for the business, and then make those things work. So that's cool, man. Well, last thing I want to ask you, and we kind of touched on it, but like as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, you know, 2 years now ish, like what's been the biggest thing for you from a work-life balance standpoint? You got 2 kids at home?
I do. Yep. Two and a half going on 3-year-old and a 6-month-old. So
we're like right in the same boat.
Yeah. So it's, as soon as I get home, it is, very, you know, one thing after the next until the kids are asleep at the end of the evening, and then yeah. you can sit down and relax then. But, one cool thing about our company is we close at 4. Nice. It's important for me to offer all of our employees a work-life balance. So, yeah. We close at 4, you know, a few of us are normally there till closer to 5, you know, yeah. can get some stuff done once the door is closed. But, yeah. That's a big thing for us, closing at 4, letting everybody get home and still have the afternoon, you know, an evening time to hang out with their family. So, work-life balance has been, I thought it was going to be a little bit more difficult than it was, because I can really leave work at work at, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock whenever I leave. And you can't ever shut the mind off from thinking about different ideas and brainstorming and taking notes on your phone and stuff like that. But, yeah. A lot of our business is transactional. Hey, we need this material. Okay, here, we brought you this material.
Yeah.
And so it is something to definitely consider, especially with young kids. You don't want them, you don't want to feel like you worked so hard you missed out on their upbringing. I've had mentors tell me that, like,
yeah.
live in the moment, enjoy the moment, enjoy the process. You know, don't be so, again, so looking 3 and 5 years down the road and forget that you've got a 2-year-old who in those 3 or 5 years are not going to be that little kid anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fun. And the other thing too is, my son loves coming to the warehouse and running around and jumping on the forklift with a big Lowe's, our warehouse supervisor
yeah.
or Tim or whoever his happens to be out there. So, they get to come up and hang out too, which is nice.
That's cool, man. Raising the kids in the business. I grew up in, my dad owned a shower glass company for 20 plus years, but I started at, you know, the young guy coming in, hanging out with all
yeah.
the older guys. And then it went into, I was helping install shower glass. And then, you know, you kind of see and progress with the guys within the business. And it's fun as a kid to see that. So you have 2 boys?
A boy and a girl.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. you'll have the perfect mix.
Yeah. We'll get to experience both yeah. sides of that. So the other thing that's cool too about our company is I brought my brother in about 8 months ago, Zach,
yeah.
To learn the company and become our GM. Because we have so many growth opportunities that we're executing on that I needed another person that could come in, step in, be the GM there and do the operational day to day, get my head out of the sand a little bit of being in the warehouse and looking at inventory planning and looking at truck coordinating and looking at all these different operational things. So, bringing my brother in, Zach, has been a huge help, and yeah, he's going to be basically running the company, and now I'm going to be focusing more on the strategic growth, and, you know, business development side. So, that's
awesome.
That's been a big help in trying to navigate the, aggressive growth that we want.
Yeah, that's tough, man. But like you said, you got somebody you trust and has experience
yeah,
in the
absolutely.
Industry. So I'm sure that's going to go a long way. I think that's a really big part about, you know, the young season of a business is finding that one key leader that you can kind of lean on. Going back to the work-life balance, that's been a huge thing for me, having another guy that's on our leadership team that I'm like, hey, if I need to, or if I need to, you know, if I step away or if I need to step away, I trust that he's fully got it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're at 10 employees, we're at 9, you know, having the ability to step away and have that person to get all the things funneled to is important.
Right.
And then Zach's great. I've had a few conversations with him now. Is like, you can completely trust him if he's talking to your clients too.
Yeah.
Which absolutely. That's also important, because you get the calls that you're like, hey, you know, you're like, call one of my guys at the office, and they're like, no, I need you. And you're like, you know.
Yeah.
You get that a lot. I get that a lot. But like, if you have a guy like Zach, for me, it's Rob. It's like, hey, he can, I promise you, he's got you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And Zach comes from, you know, Monty, 6 years of construction knowledge, from being a project supervisor, mm-hmm. project engineer, to a project manager, to pre-construction business development. So he's seen all, you know, from putting the building together to planning and designing. So he actually comes with a ton more knowledge than I do. So it's great. He's a, he's a wealth of knowledge on the actual construction side of things, and very familiar with the building materials. So yeah, it's great to be able to delegate. And I'm trying to, as we grow and our current employees become managers of other employees, you know, one of the things that people, it's hard to delegate, you know, because nobody's going to do something 100% the way you are.
Yeah.
But I always say, you know, if they can get you to 75 or 80% of the way that you would want it done, or the amount of effort that you want it done, now you've got 100% to put towards something else, and you got 180% output instead of just your 100. So that's one of the things that over the, my business experience I've learned as a manager is you can't grow unless you delegate. So that's being able to delegate a lot of that GM role and responsibility, and, you know, people going to him for approvals on stuff and things like that, really helped to open up more capacity and bandwidth for myself.
That's huge, man. I love that. I love that. Well, thank you for taking the time. This is cool to hear the story a little bit more in depth this time. Hopefully the viewers get something from it too, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's great seeing you.
Thanks. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Refining Exchange podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to bringing you the next one.